Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. At my church, we are that is met with a resounding praise the Lord right back to me. So let's try it again. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, it sounds like home. Amen. Well, I am indeed excited and indeed honored to be with you on this evening. I have been praying about this evening for some time, and especially today, because I have a couple individuals here who come to my church in the morning and then they come here in the evening, and so they know how I preach at my church. And I said, oh God, help me, because I don't know if they're going to be accepting of how excited I can sometimes get. And so I'm going to try to keep myself a little bit subdued, but if I happen to get happy, just wave a hanky at me. That's what they do. Yes, I feel good. Amen. 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 But one thing that I do know about this church is that as I was talking with my friend here, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. And Jessica, she's just a doll. Amen. Thank you so much. And my family over here, love you both. I really do. But as I was just kind of doing my little research and talking to my friend here and some others, they told me that at one point in time in history, this church here in Klamath Falls used to be a little bit like my church. They called us crazy because we like to run and hop and skip and sometimes roll in the floor. And I said, well, maybe we can get a little bit of that back today. So I'm not telling you to, you know, mess up your good clothes, but I am definitely telling you to relax in the spirit, because I do believe that God has a word for us tonight. Amen. Does anybody love the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Come on, if you love the Lord, come on, clap your hands as much as you can and give God the best praise that you can. Amen. Now, the way that I would do this at my church, I would then say, that was good enough for the president. That was good enough for the president. I'm kind of just getting you a little bit used to me, because some of you don't know me, some of you do. Amen. But I'm trying to get you used to me. That clap was good enough for the president. But I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Yahweh, the Elohim. That's who I'm talking about. So can we just clap our hands one more time for the great I Am? Come on. That's better. For God is indubitably good. He is great, and he really is worthy of all the praise. You know, in all the things that is going on in the world, I found out that it is my praise and my attitude towards what I see in the world that keeps me going. The fact of the matter is, you can see everything that's going on. You can see all the doom. You can see all the gloom. But I choose to focus on the fact that I serve the true and the living God. But the fact of the matter is, here's the key. And here's what I want you to, if you don't leave with anything else tonight, this is what I want you to leave with on tonight. Living, he loved me. And dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. But here's the thing. Rising, he justified me. And then he freed me forever. But how many believe that he's coming back one day? I say, how many believe that he's coming back one day? I'm getting excited already. Amen. Mother, did you find your phone?
No, I didn't.
Okay, she's looking for a phone. Hopefully the Holy Ghost will reveal it to us. Amen. But I'm excited, and I love, see, I'm trying to keep my voice down, Mom.
You're doing fine.
All right, thank you so much. Amen. I thank Mom for Mama Cindy. Amen. Thank God that God is good, and I love her dearly. Amen. But this is what I get out of the bed saying, God, whatever you decide to do today, however you decide to move today, that's what I'm focusing on. I don't even watch the news anymore. It's not that I don't want to know the things that's going on. I get the news every now and again, and I walk by and I say, all right, it's still some of the same stuff. Still some of the same stuff. All right, God, I got to keep on praying. Now, God, what is it that you need to show me today? I need you to put me in the shadows of somebody that I can minister to today, whether it is through a smile, whether it's through a hug, hello, somebody, whether it's through me just simply saying, hello, how are you doing? I refuse to give the enemy any kind of glory when God has been so good to me. Do I have a witness in here? I'm getting happy already. I refuse to give the enemy any kind of glory when the Bible tells me that my God has all power in his hands. I refuse to give, to give the devil any kind of glory, any kind of power, when God holds all power. This is what we have been taught from a little bitty baby, that when Jesus rose, he rose with all power. Not just power. He rose with all power in his hand. So I'm a little happy because I just believe that God is better than everything that the news could ever tell me. God is the best news. Matter of fact, somebody told me that he is the good news. Somebody say he's the good news. Oh, it's okay to talk, I promise you. It really is. It's all right to talk. He really is the good news. And if I was to take it a little further, he's the best news that we can ever get in our life. Do I have a witness in here?
Amen.
Amen. So if you would just pray for me, I would be with you for but a few fleeting moments. They didn't tell me how long to be up here, so uh-oh. I'm a Pentecostal preacher, so we could be up here for a couple days. So just pray for me. All of you who may be watching via the web line, God bless you. We send blessings and prayers to you. Tonight, I want to read to you a very quick scripture. And I do have a couple scriptures as we go on. But I want to start off with this particular scripture. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Isaiah 45. And it is verse 18. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Amen. Isaiah 45, verse 18. I'm going to see how this works too, because this is fun, especially when I go to different churches, how this goes. Amen. Amen. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking for it, say, hold on, preacher.
I'm coming. Okay, I'm
waiting. That sounds good. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you haven't, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, "For the Lord is God." Can we just put that in the atmosphere? For the Lord is God. Can you say that? For the Lord is God. Now I'm going to put a pause right there really quickly. Do you believe what it is you just said?
Yes, of course.
Now it's very easy for us to come into the church and say, oh yes, I believe it. But our actions when we step outside of this building is going to tell us whether or not you believe what you just said.
Yep.
How you pray tells if you believe what you just said. Because if the Lord is God, if he is almighty, if he is omnipotent, if he is omnipresent, that means that he can handle anything and everything that comes in our path. Am I right about it? So if you believe what you just said, for the Lord is God, your actions are going to reflect it. But if we look at our nation, we look at our world, we don't see what we've said. We see this every day. Some people say, well, preacher, what are you even talking about? I haven't said that. You carry the currency in your pocket. And on the back of the currency, it says, oh, you're catching on. All right. Sounds good. You carry our currency in your pockets. And on the back of that currency, it says, in God we trust, yet we cry about everything. Ooh. Yet we whine and we forget to pray about everything. If we really believe and we really trust in the one that we said is God, where is the faith of the people of God? We have to ask ourselves so many times, that are we just coming to church out of circumstance? Are we just coming to church because this is what we're supposed to do? Are we just coming to church because it's tradition in our family? Or is this something that is actually real in our life? Because fact of the matter is, you have to have a relationship with God. That's why Jesus died for us, not just so that we can get to heaven, but because he wanted to be back in connection with us. In the beginning of time, he had a relationship with Adam and Eve. He walked with them and he talked with them in the garden. Isn't that what he did?
Yeah.
Isn't that what your Bible says?
Yeah.
But then sin came into the picture and separation took place. So after all this time and sacrificing and folks having to bring turtle doves and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, to sacrifice for their sins, God said, you know what, I'm going to send my son. That's what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He came, he died, he laid there in the tomb, and he rose again so that we can have a connection back to God. It's time for us to get back into relationship with the one that we call Father. It's time for us to get back into relationship with the one that we call the Christ. I shall move on because I could stay there for about two more days. But for the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. Somebody say chaos.
Chaos.
I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. I want to talk to you simply from the subject, God within chaos. God within chaos. Chaos. Now, when we use the word chaos, what are we talking about? Because we use these words all the time and we don't necessarily know what they mean. We just say chaos because it fits. Ha-ha. Oh, that is chaotic. But what does that mean? What does chaos mean? Chaos is complete disorder. Chaos is complete disorder, and chaos is, somebody say, confusion.
Confusion.
What in the world do we see in the land today?
Confusion.
Complete disorder and confusion. Am I right about it?
Yes.
Another word or a couple words that we might use for this particular word is bedlam or anarchy, disorder, pandemonium, madness, turmoil. The world is in chaos. People's minds are in chaos. People's hearts and their emotions and their households and their communities are in complete and utter turmoil. I think everybody would agree in here if I would say nobody likes chaos. We don't like chaos in our finance. We don't like chaos in our homes. We don't like chaos in our relationships. We don't like chaos in our emotions. We don't like chaos in our world. Why? Because chaos creates stress. Am I right about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chaos creates fear. And we know that fear is not something, I talked about this morning at my own church. When it comes down to fear, God is not the creator of fear. Fear is a spirit that the people of God are not supposed to have.
Right.
If you don't believe me, I'm only, because I'm a person that I believe in sticking with the Bible. I don't like saying, well, let me talk to you really quick from the second book of Benjamonium. The 17th chapter and the 32nd verse. Thus saith I. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I said, because ultimately the word of God is too precious to be played around with. The fact of the matter is, fear is a spirit that we're not supposed to have. It is simply a trick of the enemy. What did I say? Fear is a trick of the enemy. What did I say? Fear is a
trick
of the enemy, because the Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. I'm going to say it again, because I really want you to catch what it is that I'm saying. I'm trying to move quickly because I'm getting happy and I need to sit down. Okay? I'm telling y'all, come to my church and you'll understand. You'll understand. Amen. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us this particular spirit. This spirit was released by hell and Satan himself. Yet when you look around the world, what do you see? nothing but the spirit of
fear
versus faith. Fear versus faith. Because the enemy knows that if he can make you fearful, he can make you lose or drop your faith. He can make you lose or drop what it is that God has been teaching you all this time. That's why Peter found himself in the position that he was in. When it came down, aren't you the man? I'm paraphrasing. Aren't you the man that traveled with Jesus? No, it wasn't me. Yeah, it is, Peter. That's you. That's you, Peter. I know that was you. Well, I said it wasn't me. You can't trick me. I know that was you, Peter, that traveled with that man, Jesus. And before you knew it, the very thing that Jesus had told Peter, which he'd said, Father, I won't do that to you, Jesus. Rabbi, I won't do that to you. I will never deny you. The very thing that Jesus told Peter, he did. Because of fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of what? Power. Power. First and foremost, he gave you power. He gave you dunamis power. Power from on high. Power to tread over serpents. Power to walk on the head of the enemy. Power to put the enemy back in his place. See, this is what the people of God have forgotten. He says, the Bible tells us that when I leave, the same works that I have done, you shall do also. The same way that I told the devil to get ye behind me, the same thing you are going to be able to do. The same way I put the enemy back in his place, you have the power. I wish I had a witness in here. I'm feeling Pentecostal. Amen. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. Amen. But the same thing that I, Jesus Christ, was able to do on this earth, I now leave you with the power to do.
Amen.
I wonder what would happen, Mother, if the people of God were actually come into this understanding and then come together. Ooh, my God. What a powerful day that would be. When the people of God would learn that we are only one together. There are so many churches and so many denominations. And listen, that's all right. But what we also got to realize is that Sunday is the most segregated day of the week. Because you want to do it this way, and I want to do it that way, and I want to dress this way, and I want to come comfortably. Who cares? We're all trying to get to heaven. Let's come together and destroy the enemy how we're supposed to. God has given us power, but we haven't even tapped into the power that we have that been given by God. He's given us power and of love. Oh, he's given us so much love. And guess what? He's given us a sound mind. Why are the people of God in the body of Christ losing their mind when God has given you a sound mind? We got folks leaving the church talking about. I said this, but what are you crying for? No, what are you crying for when you have power from the living God? But chaos creates stress, it creates fear. Not allowing us to understand that we really can't overcome what it is that we're looking at. It causes our lives to be tipped upside down. Yet, this is what I love about God. Much of what God's doing always happens then in the midst of chaos. If you think about it, if you really look at it, if you search scriptures, and I have some examples that I'm going to give you, but much of God's doings always occurs just in the midst of chaos. You don't believe me? Well, let's just start at the very beginning of the book. He created everything. I mean, everything that there is out of chaos. In the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. We know it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. There was nothing before God said. All there was chaos.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis is indeed the seedbed of the Bible. And out of chaos, we find creation. Out of chaos, we find what? Creation. Out of chaos, we find what?
Creation.
And it this seems to be the pattern that develops in and around anything that God is doing. Piercing light coming out of endless darkness. Dry land emerging out of the tossing sea. Life breathing from lifelessness. Reproduction from barrenness. And creation. It seems that chaos came before anything. And it appears that everything and anything that there is came out of or out a result of chaos. It seems that chaos is the place where God seems to do some of his greatest works. Yeah. It seems that it's right there in the midst of chaos that God brings some of the most beautiful things into existence. 1 minute, things look bleak, and then the next minute, everything is blooming. Ask me why.
Why?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. How did you know? But the reason why is because our God, thank you, Jesus. Our God, he specializes in hard situations.
Right.
It's real quiet in here. I hope you're listening. Our God specializes in situations that seem as if they are hopeless. He specializes in situations that we are ready to give up on. Because one thing that I found out in my 32 years of living is that there really is nothing too hard for God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. There really is nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. What did you say? I said nothing. There is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that God cannot handle in a snap of a finger.
That's right.
In a blink of an eye. In a quick breath, can he change everything about your hopeless situation? There's nothing too hard for God. Because he specializes in these things. He waits for these moments. There are so many moments. Is this camera? It's just stationary. I gotta be still. Okay? But because I'll be all over this place. Alright? But he looks for those moments. And he just waits. He waits because how many know that with our human finite minds, we sometimes think that we can just handle everything. You know, and I'm a man, and sometimes we can be very stubborn. I can do it. I don't need the instructions. I can do it. Oh, she just rolled her eyes. What did you do? I don't need these instructions. I can do it.
Right.
2.5 hospital visits later. Three more trips to IKEA, we finally figure out that these instructions are there for a reason. What we got to understand is that in our hopeless situations where things can sometimes get very, very difficult and very, very hard, God specializes in those moments that we cannot take care of, that we can do nothing but cry about. That we can do nothing but just simply look out. That is when God says, give it to me. Yeah. You see the pattern from Genesis all the way to Revelations. Water coming from a rock in the wilderness. A redeemer as a result of a fallen world. It's a storm on the Sea of Galilee and everyone is about to die. Then Jesus comes up and speaks peace to the storm. Jesus allows Lazarus to die. And not only to die, but to be dead for 4 days lying in the tomb. Then Jesus decides to show up, call Lazarus by his name. Lazarus comes up with full of life, though he was wrapped in grave clothes. It looked as if he was a mummy. And then he speaks to the very thing that was holding him and says, loose him and let him go. That's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen.
It's hard for me to stay silent, and it's hard for me to stay quiet, and it's hard for me to stay faithless when I understand that my God literally can control death. These aren't stories. This is truth. The B-I-B-L-E, the Bibli. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is our instruction manual, if you will. But the fact is, no matter how difficult it may seem, God is always going to bring something out of your chaos. I've come to encourage you, the people of God, today. I didn't come here to do anything extra and spectacular and give you this and talk to you in different languages. I just came to encourage you. Because the fact of the matter is, the enemy really thinks that he's won because he has run rampant in this world. He has run rampant in our nation. He has run rampant in our community. And it seems as if the devil or the enemy of our soul has won. But I've come to encourage you that though things may seem chaotic, I dare you to turn things over to God. I challenge you to turn things over to God. I dare you to pray and get on your face and go before God about the things that you are seeing, about the things that are keeping you up in the middle of the night that you cannot take care of. I dare you to go before God in prayer. Now, I have to tell you, people of God, our prayers do not define who God is. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Our prayers, because this is a tough one for some people, because the fact of the matter is, to the everyday Christian, if I pray, I expect it to happen. The Bible told me he would never leave me before for that. This is true. But our prayers do not define God. Our prayers merely cause him to reveal himself to us through the chaos of our situation. Our prayers don't define who or what God is. But what they do is they allow or they will give him the opportunity to show us just how good and powerful he is. Our prayers don't define who God is, just as my existence does not define who you are. Me having a conversation with you doesn't change who you are. It doesn't define who you are. What do you think prayer is? A conversation. What do you think prayer is? That's all it is. It's a conversation with the Almighty God. But that doesn't define who God is. Neither does that control what God does. Ooh, my God. Oh, my God. Because the fact of the matter is, he's always on time. God is always on time. My grandmother said it like this. He may not come when you want him, but he will be there right on time. Why? Because he really is an on-time God. But the fact of the matter is, our time is not God's time.
Nope.
Our wants are not God's wants, because the fact of the matter is, his will supersedes our wants.
Yep.
I'll say that again in English. His will supersedes our wants, our desires, because his will shall be done. Isn't that what God taught us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive or our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, thy will be done. It's not about us. This is the thing. This is why a lot of people, this is why you look around the community, the nation, the world, and you see empty churches, is because people have put themselves in the place of God.
Amen.
God didn't move when I wanted him to move, so he's not real. My God, I'm trying to stay behind this pulpit. God didn't do what I wanted him to do, so
So that means that he's not real. So people just leave the church. If that was the case, he would have lost all 12 of his disciples in the first week. Because Jesus, God, does not move the way that we want him to move. He moves according to the way of the will of his Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I say, well, Lord, if it's not your will, don't let me do it. That's how I got out here. I said, Lord, if it's your will, and I'm going to be honest with y'all, I didn't want to come to Klamath Falls. I didn't want to come to Klamath Tucky. I'm a Mississippi boy. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, ended up in Portland. And then I came down to Klamath Falls and I saw a tumbleweed. I said, Jesus, don't do it. I said, Father, if I started praying the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be your will, let this cup pass. I said, that was a tumbleweed, Lord. I've only seen those on country movies. I know that was a tumbleweed. I saw cows hopping in the... I said, where am I at? Oh, my God. But I said, God, if it be your will, if it be your will, because I had already signed a contract somewhere else. And I said, if it be your will, make it plain, make it easy for me to come on out here. And that's exactly what he did. Because Lord knows I didn't want to be. I was already signed somewhere else. I was already somewhere else. And he made it very easy. They paid for my way to get here, made sure I had a place to stay. Hello. I said, okay, well, I guess, God, this is your will. Amen. But we have to move according to his will. Just because we pray doesn't mean that he's going to answer our prayer exactly how we prayed it to him. Because ultimately, just like a good parent, he's going to give you what you need. Whoo! My God, he's going to give you what you need. And just like a good Messiah, just like a seasoned teacher, he's going to allow you to be tested to see if you understand what it is that he taught you. Our prayers don't define who he is. Someone may say that my situation or that situation or our nation is so bad. That doesn't define God. That does not define God. That's simply our chaos. That's all that is. If you don't believe me, go and read the book of Job. Oh, I hear you laughing, so somebody knows their Bible. Well, brother, Job's situation was really bad. But he understood that what I'm going through does not define who he is. And he understood it so much to the point of even saying, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. My father would say it like this. We live in a very jellyback time. Jellyback meaning there is no stand within people anymore. As soon as hardship come over, am I right about it? Yeah. As soon as something hits us, we want to start crying. As soon as what happened to the people of God that will say, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Because when I read the stories within the Bible, the apostles, they were criticized. They were talked about. They were brutalized. They were lied on. They were mistreated. And ultimately, most of them, almost all of them, were killed. But never did you see them back up on what God told them to do. Never did you see them back up on the teachings of God, because they understood that at the end of this, I get to look my Savior in the face. Amen. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but as for me, I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done. Oh, thy good and thy faithful. Uh-oh. Thy good and thy faithful. I'm going to say it again because somebody's catching it. Thy good and thy faithful. But he can't call you a servant if you haven't put yourself out there to serve.
Right.
Oh, it got real quiet in here. I think I stepped on some spiritual toes.
thy good and thy faithful servant, enter into my rest. But why do you need to rest if you've been sitting down? Uh-oh. Well, everything was just so chaotic and I just couldn't do it. No. I put you on this world to make something happen. I put you on this world so that you could tell somebody about who I am. Because ultimately, whether it was chaotic or not, the job still needed to be done. Because what we've got to understand is God, at the end of the, when we look Jesus in his face, he's not taking excuses because he was the perfect example. I'll say it again. He was the perfect example. I don't know of many more chaotic situations other than what Jesus has gone through in his own personal life here on earth. Jesus went through so many things and he showed us how to deal with them. In chaotic situations, we've got to learn that we just can't back down because things become heavy. We can't just give up because it doesn't look like what scripture told us it was going to look like. We've got to get in our system, though you slay God, yet will I trust you, because from this is going to come some kind of manifestation of your glory. If you believe it, come on and clap your hands and magnify the Lord. If you are looking for God to move, if you're looking for or looking to see miracles in your life, you probably don't need to look for one in a place of serenity and peace. You probably shouldn't look for a miracle in a place where everything is calm. Rather, in a place where things are not stable. You look for these things in a place where things are what? Chaotic. If areas of your life have serenity and peace, we surely thank God for that. Because there's nothing wrong with having serenity and peace. Hello, somebody. I love the fact that I'm able to lay my head down in the middle of the night and not worry that there's a bomb coming over my head. There's nothing wrong with that, but realize if you have serenity, if you have peace, you don't need a miracle. But we don't live in a perfect world, do we? Because if we live in a perfect world, that would be called heaven. Hello, somebody. We may have serenity and peace in some areas of our life, but all of us have chaos in other areas of our life or in our world. So can we focus for just a few moments on those places of chaos in our life? The areas where everything is out of place. Our spiritual OCD radar is going off the chart. The places where nothing is as you want it to be. But can I tell you on tonight, here, in these particular places, is where God will work in your life. Catch what I'm going to say. If you let him. God allows these situations to happen, but ultimately he wants to deliver us from these situations. He didn't just let the children of Israel, as many times as they were disobedient. Oh, I read the stories about the children of Israel, and I'm like, what do you not get? What are we not getting here? What are we not understanding? But as many times, it's almost, okay, raise your hand if you've seen the movie Moana. Oh, we got to have a family movie night. Well, let me tell you something without giving too many of a spoilers away. You got to go watch this movie. It's absolutely wonderful. But in the movie Moana, there is this character. He's not a human. It's an animal. It's not a grand animal. It's a very frail, skinny-looking chicken.
he's so cute. He's called, his name is Hey Hey. But Hey Hey, Hey Hey's dumb as rocks. Hey Hey just has no good sense at all. And Hey Hey will just sit there and pluck. This is all Hey Hey does. Hey Hey's trying to eat, but he doesn't know what he's eating. He's just plucking the door. Or he'll look at, and somebody put a pile of rocks on the side of him. He'll try to eat the rocks. You know, Hey Hey just doesn't know. He doesn't. Well, Hey Hey was on a boat. And Hey Hey kept walking off the... He kept walking off the boat. And you would see Hey Hey upside down. And his poor little legs are just doing this. And in the movie... because it is a Samoan movie. It is a very, Samoan is probably not the right nationality, but it's, they're very into nature, and they're showing how everything works together, and the water actually has life. And so they will pick Hey Hey out of the water and put Hey Hey back on the boat. Well, Hey Hey will take his furry, feathery, happy hips and fall back in the water. And what did you see floating across the screen? Two little frail drumsticks. Just going, and finally the water, the ocean had had enough. And so the ocean picks Hey Hey up, puts him in a basket, puts the basket in the bottom of the boat, takes the lid to the bottom of the boat, puts it on top and slams it. Oh my gosh. But when I think about us and I think about the children of Israel, sometimes we act like little Hey Hey. No matter how many times we're being pointed in the right direction. Here's the pile of rocks. Here's the pile of food. God point us to the pile of food and say, eat. We turn to the pile of rocks and go forth. And wonder, and then wonder why we're sick. God would point us in the right direction and say, don't go there. But then here we go, stepping off the boat. And then here's our little spiritual drumsticks. Going around, and finally he got to pick us back up and say, stay there. And then we're in a moment where we don't necessarily understand why we're stuck. But God has us in a position so he can then teach us what and what not to do, since we can't learn how to not step off the boat freely. Poor little Hey Hey. But if we allow God to work in our situations, he will. But the Bible tells us that he is a perfect gentleman. How does it tell us that? It doesn't use those particular words, but it says it like this. I stand at the door and I knock. And I happened to look that scripture up, and I was studying that scripture, just having a good time. And I happened to accidentally click images. And when I was studying that scripture, I clicked the images button, and I was beginning, pictures began to come up. And I was like, ooh, this is fun. If you ever want to have fun, take some of your favorite scriptures and type them into the internet and then click images. It's going to be fun. Trust me. Okay? But I clicked this one, and it was really beautiful to see the image, but at the same time, powerful to see the image. Because the image that somebody had drawn of this particular verse was a door, and it was a room on one side and Jesus on the outside. And on the inside, there was a handle, there was a knob that could be turned and opened. But on the outside, there was no knob. On the outside, there was no knob. Because Jesus is not going, he's not going to come in like Ice-T or Mr. T and say, I pity the one that don't let me in. You gonna let me in today? Poof! No. Jesus is a perfect gentleman, and he's going to stay. Hopefully y'all invite me back. He's going to stay outside of the door of your heart and knock. Jesus never gets tired of knocking. Sometimes we get tired of hearing. But he never gets tired of knocking. Because ultimately he wants to come in and help you deal with the things that you're struggling with.
He wants to come in for those of us that may not necessarily know Christ as our Savior. He wants to come in and be the one that comes in and says, I just want to love on you. And those chaotic situations that you're dealing with, you'll come to find out they're really nothing at all if you just give them over to me. Open the door. Oh, I wish you would just open the door. I wish you would just open the door of your heart and let me come in and deal with the things that keeps bringing tears to your eyes. Just open the door. Just open the door. I know that you're hurting because your family is not saved, but if you just come in and let me deal with you first, I will show you how to be an example for those that you love. So I know, yeah, just let me open the door. That's what he's going to be doing. When we wake up, when we go to sleep, and I don't know about you, but sooner or later, I'm just going to open the door. Because in real life, my boy, Andrew, he'll come to my door. Andrew, what do you want? Andrew, I know you hear me call. I know you hear me talking to you. What do you want? So sooner or later, I'd have had about enough. And I get up and I open the door. What do you want, boy? Hi. But let the Lord come on in and do what he needs to do in your life. Psalms 46 and 6 of the New Living Translation says it like this. The nations are in chaos. Would you agree about that?
Amen.
The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. But this is what I love about this particular scripture. It says, God's voice thunders. Say that with me. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. People are like, man, this world is a real mess. And I would agree. People are also saying my life is a complete disaster right now. But if you allow God to do what he's going to do in your life, how many know that his voice thunders over everything that we see, that we feel, that we can comprehend? The voices of chaos are saying hopelessness. The voices of chaos are saying death. The voices of chaos are saying ruin. The voices of chaos are saying disaster. But then God's voice thunders. Ooh. I love the fact that when the enemy thinks he has the upper hand, God comes in and gives him a Mike Tyson 1-2 jab and a hook.
Yes.
And puts him back in his place. Why? Because God's voice supersedes the voices of hopelessness in our life. It supersedes the impossibilities and desperation of our world. Oh, I hate to see and even think about the individuals who don't know God. Because the stuff that our world is going through right now, this is so hard for them. This is very difficult for them. Because they don't know how to handle this. But I love the fact that when things begin to go awry in my life, in my world, in the world, I know that I can say, Abba, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know that I can go to my father and say, hey, man, this is how I talk to him. This might not be how you talk to him, but this is how I talk to him. And I say, hey, Dad, I know you see it, but do you see it? But like, I know you, the Bible says you see it and you understand all things, but do you really see it? I know that I can go to him and have a conversation, and that at the end of my conversation with him, he tells me that everything is going to be all right. I love the fact that I am a believer, because at the end of the day, I have songs that tell me I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. Now, this is Pentecostal songs. I'm not sure if you know this one. I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. It really is. It's going to be all right. Why? Because my God specializes in the things that I cannot handle. That's why I look at this world and I don't get afraid. Why? Because Revelations 1 and 8 says that I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the classical Greek alphabet. And Jesus declared in his revelations to Apostle John that he is the beginning and he is the end. What did I say? He is the beginning and he is the end. One more time for the Holy Ghost. He is the beginning and he is the end. So no matter where or how we look at it, we are victorious. This is why I choose not to fear. Because at the end of it all is God. At the beginning of it all is God. In the in-between is God. I'll say it again. At the beginning of it all, it's God. In the in-between, it's God. And at the end of it all, when I close my eyes, it is God. No matter how you look at it, the devil is defeated. Woo! Thank you. Well, I'm trying. Thank you, Jesus. See, because sometimes I just got to give him glory. Because at the end of the day, I still turn out victorious. That's why in my church we don't call them funerals. We call them homegoings. We call them graduation celebrations. And we give God glory because we understand where that person just went. We understand the individual story didn't just end, but it's just beginning. It's not as chaotic as you may seem. Just let God be God in your situation. Because at the end of it all, nobody really likes the beginning of chaotic situations. The Alpha can be very, very, very difficult. Because the beginning represents our world in chaos. However, the Omega represents the end or the completion of something. In fact, if you will, in this particular context, it represents the miracle. And as you see, as you look at these things, and my father, who was also a pastor, he would talk to you like this, and he would say, I see you in the future. And you look so much better than you look right now. But then I came along and became a pastor and decided that I wanted to take my little spiritual glue stick and tag on to what Dad said. So my dad would say, I see you in the future and you look so much better than you look right now. And then I came along and said, you look real good right now. So only imagine what you look like in the future. Somebody clap your hands and give him glory right there. We don't like the trouble. I'm trying to move quickly. We don't like the trouble in our lives, but we love it when a miracle shows up. I'm so glad that I don't look like, though, what I used to look like. I'll put it this way. I'm so glad, and I wonder if anybody has this testimony and is willing to be real for just a moment, because this is what has lost in the church, realness. We come to church and we put on this facade. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father. Oh, you've been so good. You've been so wonderful. What did you used to look like? See, this is the testimony that God wants us to share. Because I didn't always, it is by grace that I have this on. It is by grace that I wear this around my neck. And every time I put this around my neck, I have a moment to myself, between myself and God, and I say, thank you for allowing me to be in the position to be able to speak to your people, because I did not always look like Pastor Benjamin. I didn't always look like what many people in this community know me as, Mr. B. I didn't always look like that. I came from a family that was torn and tormented with alcoholism and drugs and methamphetamines and angel dust and things I have seen in my household come in and out of my household. I come from a family of abuse where people would physically punch me in the face or physically punch me in the stomach, and alcoholism where they would throw beer bottles at me. That's the kind of thing that I came from. I came from a community and family that would tell me, you ain't never gonna be nothing. You're gonna end up in jail just like your daddy. But God came into my chaotic situation. Because one thing about it, I never gave up on God. I was not perfect. There are many nights that I shed tears. And there are even some nights now that I look back and I think about what God has done for me and how far he's brought me from. And even tears begin to come and roll down my face, because he did not have to do it. He didn't have to bring me out. He didn't have to love me the way that he did. But he did. And when I was ready and when I was able to say, God, deliver me from this chaotic situation. But here's the thing that I love about it. When I said, God, deliver me, because there was anger and bitterness building up in my heart. And I said, God, you need to deal with me. You need to help me out with this. And he says, I will take you here if you let me deal with this. Because I begin to build hate in my heart for my father and my mother. I begin to build hate in my heart and bitterness in my heart because of things that my family had put me through. And he said, listen, I will bring you out of this if you let me deal with this. I will take you out of chaos if you let me deal with your chaos. I wonder how many things haven't changed in our life because we haven't allowed God to heal us from past chaotic situations.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in our community, I found out the biggest thing that people are dealing with and struggling with is forgiveness. We can't even begin to pray for things like Ukraine until God deals with our chaos. He hears our prayers. He hears them. But at the end of the day, when are you going to let him deal with you? When are we going to allow him to say, can I have this? And we freely give it to him. Because at the end of the day, God loves us enough to keep us where we are. Because how many know that hurt people hurt people?
Yep.
Amen. I'll say it again. Hurt people hurt people. And if we are going to be a true ministry for God, we have to allow the Holy Ghost to deal with our chaos. Because once he deals with our chaotic situations, once he deals with what daddy did to you, what mama did to you, and what this person or this man or this woman did to you, once we allow him to uproot those seeds of bitterness and hate, we then have room to allow other things to come in and love to come in and joy to come in. And we'll find out that our prayer life is going to change. We're no longer praying, oh Lord, get them, and oh Lord, do this. And I found myself doing that. God, visit them in their dreams. I don't know about anybody else, but I was like, God, visit them in their dreams. Give them a Holy Ghost nightmare. But as I let the Lord deal with me, I found out that I was no longer trying to play the payback game. I just simply wanted to love people. There's individuals in my life that have done me so wrong. But the fact of the matter is, if you, I, and them were around each other, you'll never know. Now. Because I allowed the Lord to come in and step into my chaotic situation. And deliver me from the things that I needed to be delivered from. Which then gave me room to pray for Ukraine. And to pray for the Middle East. And to pray for our community. Because the fact is, you can't pray about something that you're still hurting about. If your community is hurting, you're hurt. The blind can't lead the blind. Everybody hurt. Everybody hurt, but we're praying. No, let the Lord do it for you personally. Let the Lord allow the Lord to come in and deal with you personally. There's a song. It's a very simple song. And I'm closing with this. I had some other notes, but God knows what he's doing. Am I right about that?
Amen.
And there's a particular song, and it's a very simple song that we usually pray or sing during prayer time at my church. And it just simply says, I need thee all. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Can we sing one more time? I need, it's personal, thee, oh. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Whoa, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. It was your love that lifted me. Love lifted me.
in me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
That is our prayer tonight. Amen. In all the chaos that is going on in this world, how about we just let God be God in our lives? Amen. Let God deal with our chaotic situations, because it then puts us in a better position to help those who can't find a way out of their chaotic situations. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, Jesus really is the answer to it all. He really is the ultimate answer to all things. And if we can but be the example to the world that we are living in, by allowing God to deal with us so that we can go out and tell of the goodness. Isn't that what the woman at the well did? Yeah, she allowed God to speak into her life. She didn't even know who she was talking to. But slowly but surely, Jesus revealed himself to her. And she ran. She even left her water pot. That's what she came there for. She came there in the hottest part of the day, because she knew she was unliked by the other women that came in the early part of the day. She met Jesus, which, by the way, this is the longest conversation that Jesus had with anybody recorded in Scripture. And she was nameless. But she allowed God to speak into her life. And because of that, she became the first female evangelist. She ran back to the town and she spoke, the Bible says, spoke to all the men. Because you have to understand culture. Those are the ones that held leadership and power. And she spoke to all of them, because when they came, everybody came. And because of her witness and because of her allowing God to deal with her chaotic situation, she saved that whole town.
Amen.
How about we just let God do that in our lives? And how many know that God will indeed do what he's supposed to do in our lives, in our communities, amen, in our worlds, in our families, if we simply let God be God in our life. May God bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. Continue to pray for me, yes?
Yes.
Amen, and I'll do the same for you. God bless you. Amen.
Oh, am I supposed to dismiss?
Yeah. Let us stand together. I'm not used to this. I'm going to get it. I'm so used to somebody coming up after me. Amen. Let's stand together if you can. If you can't, that's all right. God don't see you any different. Amen. And if you're close enough to grab some hands with somebody, do so. If you don't feel comfortable, that is all right. But if you're close enough to grab somebody's hand, please do so. And let us pray with one another. Dear Heavenly Father, God, first and foremost, we come to you saying thank you.
Thank you.
God, we say thank you. God, we appreciate you, not just for the things you've done, but first off, God, we simply thank you for being who you are. We thank you, Lord, for sitting on the throne and simply being God. And then we thank you, Lord, for the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things that you shall do. God, we're praying right now for everybody that is under the sound of my voice. A special blessing right now for everybody's chaotic situation. God, indeed, our world is in chaos, but God, we want to focus specifically on our personal chaotic situations. God, we want to hand those things over to you so that we can be better witnesses for your kingdom. Because God, we can't witness when we're hurt. We can't witness when we're shackled down. So God, deal with those things that we are dealing with, that we may even be dealing with in secret. Things that people know, things that people don't know. Whatever it is, God, we hand those over to you. We lay them at your feet, at your throne. So God, that we can be better minstrels for you. Within that, God, we pray for our community. We pray for our world. We pray for our families. God, we even pray right now for the family of the 10-year-old that was lost on today. God, we pray right now a special blessing of peace right now in the name of Jesus. In all of our situations, God, that may bring us grief, God, we're praying right now that you would deal with those situations in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, lead us and guide us in the way that you want us to go so that we're always walking, talking, and abiding within your will. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Amen.